instructions for the day. It's kind of a nice word, instruction. Instruct. It almost suggests to us that we want to not introduce too much structure, but to be aware of the intent of the day, the intent of the practice, and how to go about it. How to translate understanding into embodied wisdom that allows processes to unfold naturally. Towards a wholesome state of being, towards wholesome mind, wholesome. All the voices, all the parts, all the ways that we are particles, can we rest all our particles and particularities into a whole embrace, making it a grounding of conscious presence with which we are, with which each of us is. I'll switch to Hebrew now for a minute and read you a poem by one of my teachers, Christopher Titmus, called "Who Am I Now?" Mi ani achshav. לפני שתזוזת מענה מתעוררת בתודעתי. לפני מחשבה מגדירה ומגדרת. לפני השקפה מוצהרת שעוטפת להבטיח את קיומי. מהו המרחב הזה? עדינותה היקרה של התרת הווייתי. מהו נצח החסד שתודעתי ממהרת להרפל? במחוז דומיות מכנות המייתן, אי אפשר להביע את מנגינת האי נהייה. זה שיר שכבר קראתי לכם, ועכשיו אני משמיעה אותו שוב, כהנחיה. כלהתעניין ולהבין ולהמשיך להנחיח את הלפני. אבל יש, אפשר לשים לב, בשביל זה צריך להרפות. אתם מכירים את הספרים האלה? Do you know the books that have magic books that have like all sorts of forms painted, colors. And then you're invited to look at the center of the picture. And while you're looking at the center of the picture, you're told, let your eyes relax a little bit. Let the focus unfocus. Let yourself decenter and allowing, looking in a more hazy, sort of diminishing way. And then, wow, then the picture becomes three-dimensional. And you have just created space. Is space in the picture before that happens to us? Or is it not? Let's leave that to philosophers to argue. But as practitioners, not as philosophers, we need space. And we need a quiet space to meet with us for this sacred meeting of the person and herself or his self. Where all the selfing would keep happening, no problem with that. We just lean back from identification, from getting lost in the identification. Not making the content of whatever, the name of whatever, being sensation, being feeling, being thought. Let's not limit who we are to that. So I may know, let's say, now I'm feeling my right buttock. Okay? Can you do that with me? Can you feel your right buttock? Of course you can. Can you feel all your buttock? Of course you can. You're sitting on it and you can sense it. It's here all the time, and you just feel it. I hope you're feeling it without pain. If you're sensing it or feeling it with pain, or with doubt, or with anger about something, or with discomfort of any sort, can you let your tissues, your presence, relax into support? And then we become people who inquire into what is supporting, what gives support in each and every moment. That's what presence is. Now, presence cannot be commanded. That's the good news. I cannot tell myself. But I can actually, and it's gently, I can invite myself, intend myself, and I can notice when I'm distracted. So attention, undistracted attention becomes what we develop, the capacity of attention not to be distracted from what we set our intention, inclined our mind, and establish as a ground of being. Everything is included. tefillah is important because we discover what for me was actually an unfathomable truth, that honesty, candor, integrity with whatever is happening within me, be it unwholesome also, being not just the good intent, anything. If I'm honest about it with myself, it touches something deep that gives me peace and re-establishes my trust of being basically not too bad a person, of being basically endowed with the potential of being actually limitlessly good. So that's practical support. הכנות, פשוט הכנות, להמשיך עם הכנות, להרגיש ולרצות שזה יהיה לא רק הודעה כזאת כמו הודעה של, אתם יודעים במילים, אומרים הודעה, sort of confess, it's not just about confessing, it's about touching the ground of suffering involved, not turning away for momentarily acknowledgement. We need to acknowledge, to reassume responsibility, to own up to any experience. And to fight. Fight is not a good word in a Dharma hall, but let me say that because I don't mean aggressively. I mean just be resolute about the possibility of freedom. We have to earn it. Freedom is like a fruit earned, falling to our laps, to our inner being, when it's ready to fall. Until that moment, we practice with the contractions and momentarily release keeps happening, and then contractions again and contractions again and not wanting to be here again. And oh, again, I thought I'll never feel this stab here. Such a good practitioner, aren't I? I thought I'd never. Okay. Why did I think I'd never? And we start playing with it, with the humor a little bit, with the suffering a little bit, and we sort of massage our everything into agreeing, well, yes, that's what's happening now, okay. Okay. I can be with it. Sharing, reporting, telling, different things. That's a different dimension. But sharing with ourselves, telling it to ourselves as it is, and keeping an intimate, supportive, ground to see the sometimes trach, fire burning, the hurt, the fear, the unthought, unthink surprise of what hit us like a thunderbolt sometimes. We are humans. That's not easy. Conscience is the working ground and awareness into what comes. Let me call it formless conscious. It still doesn't have a form within me. Coming into form and becoming the object of what grabs my attention. Oops, I'm feeling here. I'm sitting. Suddenly a wave of smell. Oh, soap. So present. Oh, she washed with a wonderful soap. Oh, I wish. And then just notice the way the mind naturally moves towards the pleasant. Oh, like a dog sniffing, right? And then calling ourselves to center, not moving towards, not shying away or hiding from, just establishing this present of being, but it's also expansive. It's not contracted around facts, happenings, memories that come, thinking about the future. And we cannot, and please don't, be too quick to neutralize. Because we can attempt to neutralize something and not meet the impact of what is happening to that, to us. So, the Buddha said, there are three kinds of dangers while practicing. As far as the pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensations are concerned. Pleasant sensations come with the danger of self-indulgence and drifting into beliefs, into ruminations, into creating la-la lands, which is fine. Just notice it is happening. While it is happening, be with it happening. We don't push it away. Acknowledge. But that's the danger. The self-indulgence. And also, said the Buddha, you know the nature of pleasant, right? It's temporary, so when it comes, you're opening to it and it's nice. And when it leaves, what do? Are you then going to be mourning? Oh, wanting it back? What do we lose when the pleasant stops? Let's not lose good trust, good faith, not as in imagination, or just as the establishing of understanding of energies. So the pleasant is pleasant when arriving and unpleasant when it leaves and changes. The unpleasant is very unpleasant when it arrives. Sometimes shockingly unpleasant, sometimes really pulling the rug under our feet. Like, itar'erut. So we, with the unpleasant, we acknowledge the knowledge that it can pass. And while it is still in our bodies, in our feelings, in our mind, we take care. We are the caretakers. So we take care. With conscious presence, with a little bit of soothing, and sometimes an event from the present will trigger a whole string of memories related to it from the past. And then we'll simply, or not simply, we'll address that. Oh, okay. It still is revived. May I be at peace. May I be stable. May I bring peace to the acknowledgement of difficulty. The danger around not noticing or trying to bypass the unpleasant is developing bypasses around our own, how shall I put it very gently, and please forgive me if I don't name it right, tendency towards anger and revenge and aggression, because it's so natural. I mean, it's the most natural of things. I used to have a hand that if a hand would come close to my face, even a gentle hand, the immediate movement I used to have is push it away. And it took me a second to realize, oh, I don't want to push away my child. I don't want to push away the dog. I don't want to push away the fly or the bee. And if I do, I want to have some ways of knowing what is the danger and what do I wisely, skillfully need to do. It's not the same when a dog jumps over you or when a friendly dog, like the dog this morning, which I experienced, many of you maybe did not see because you were with your eyes closed, that a dog that I don't know, a big dog, came towards me, whoop, 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 coming towards me. Oh, it's a big lick on my face. Now, for me, you don't know me. I tell you, it's the first dog's lick. I don't like this smoochie. Yes. But I did like it this morning. So what I just said belongs to who? Not to me. Not to me. Because we want not. There is no me. The many, many events, and we form a memory, a label. We say, I am. Never happened to me. But it happened to me already. So now I know. It can be nice. I may become a licking dog-like lover. How I may not. It happened this morning. For a moment, we acknowledge. That's the practice. That's the practice of non-self. And we see all the moments in which we become contracted around a theme, around memories, all the contractions that happen, they're the cage. And getting out of the cage, can we find the way out? Through this practice of quiet presence. It's a very particular way out. There are other ways out also. But this is what we do here. The third category is the category of neutral feelings or neutral sensations. Sensations that we don't even register as happening. There is a story that Goenkaji likes to tell about how he walks into an individual cell in which the man is practicing his wonderful method of noticing sensations, and the man is taking all his clothes off, and Goenkaji is asking me, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking my clothes off. Do you feel any sensation? No sensations at all. Don't feel anything. And Goenkaji is asking him, so why are you taking your clothes off? And that's a serious question. It's not just why? Why are we making any movement? Any movement whatsoever? Do we notice what's before that? And why are we doing it? And what's wrong with heat? And what's wrong with sweating and having to change maybe 2 times, 3 times at night, maybe more. Sick people know it. Mothers know it when they change the clothes of children. Women going through menopause know it. Men going through different things know it. The sweat, the sweating. And the cold sweat. And what is fear? So we investigate. And our bodies are our bodies. It's not a double meaning. We may think, why do I need this body? All the pain. I could have saved myself all the pain. Why do I need to reconnect to the body? Isn't it? Won't it be? Actually, there are many ways to shut down the way pain is part of the aliveness of the body. And it's a real open question. It's not a when to use sedatives, when not to feel, when it's wise to help ourselves not experience everything the body is going through, and when it would be wise to keep with the experience. And I'm very sorry if my words, even right now, are triggering too much. A word can trigger. So what comes into focus, we lend our attention to. We meet the tissues of the body, the soft tissues, around the breathing channel. And we sense them. We sense the air coming through, inwardly, outwardly. And we lean back. Or not. The word back means something to me. It may not be instructful or useful for you. But do see. Do see. Do experience. Do investigate. With trust. With something that you still trust and we can call equanimity of being. And if something needs to change and you need to get up, look into the trees, stop a little the inward gaze. And now I want to say something about the energies of concentrations as opposed to the energies of simple awareness. Of the concentration that is the fruit of the practice. Not of the decisive concentration that, you know, I'm focusing on writing and I'm not hearing anything that... It's not that. I want to be focused on something while I'm still being disturbed by the world. And the amount of energy I will use for it can be very simple. It doesn't have to take a great effort. Remember what Stephen talked about, the effort needing. About neither falling asleep and sinking, neither too much. Now sometimes, when already you got the fruit of the rikuz, of the sati, in a very human way, maybe part of the agitation is just too much fruit. Do you know the trees that sometimes one big fruit is developing and is very heavy on the tree? The branch is just beginning and one... You know the... גידלתם פעם פירות הדר או פירות או מנגויים שיש פרי מאוד כבד על השתיל כשהוא רק מתחיל ו... נכון זה מתכופף ו... לא עומד ישר ונושא לעצמו בכוח את כל הפירות. תשימו לב לזה, כי הקשר בין ריכוז ותשומת לב פשוטה, בין היכולת to be very light, and still enable the unfolding, and depth is present. Well, right now I'm just declaring something, huh? But look into it. Sometimes it's just too much energy. אני זוכרת שפעם תרגלתי הליכה וניגשתי למורה שלי והתחלתי לתאר לו בכל הפרטים מה אני חווה תוך כדי הליכה. ואני זוכרת שהרגשתי את עצמי, וואו, עכשיו אני חווה תוך כדי הליכה כל כך הרבה דברים מיוחדים ותחושה כזאת מיוחדת בגוף, ולא ראיתי שאני כבר מגזימה בכל המיוחדות של המצב. ואז הוא שאל אותי, אוקיי, and how is your three-pointed meditation going? כן, ואיך את מרגישה בפשוט לעבור עכשיו לחוש רק 3 נקודות? אל תחושי את כל ה-24 נקודות, אז זה היה, או 27. תחושי רק 3. נהדר שאת יכולה 27. עכשיו רק תחזרי ל-3. לא הצלחתי. זה לא חזר רק ל-3. לא, לא ידעתי, איך אני אחוש? אני לא יכולה לחוש רק שלוש. לא יכולה לחוש רק שלוש. וואו, אני חשה כבר את כל זה, את כל זה. מה הוא רוצה ממני שאני אחוש רק שלוש נקודות? אז זה התחיל המשחק בפחות אנרגיה. You're putting in too much effort. Just notice three. אז תראו כמה זה מעניין. רק לחקור את היחסים בין ריכוז ותשומת לב, ולהתחיל לרצות להיות בחזרה בעל הבית, ולא רק חמשת האורחים. כי לא שמתי לב בכלל שאני כבר חסרת סבלנות רק לשלוש, שאני רוצה יותר, שאני חושבת שמי שמרגיש 27 הוא יותר מתקדם ממי שמרגיש רק שלוש. תבינו מה אני אומרת? את כל המשחקי אני שנבנה סביב רעיון ההתקדמות. אבל זה לא רק רעיון, יש התקדמות. אז ההנחיות להיום. להמשיך לפגוש. להסתקרן לגבי הרגעים שפתאום אנחנו עסוקים יותר מדי, שיש איזה כמו תביעה לענות על השאלות שפתאום עולות, או לדעת משהו, או לפתור את הכאב הזה. אז תשימו לב לזה, למיידיות הזאת, לדחיפות שנוצרת. וביחס לדחיפות אני מזמינה את השאלה, what if there is time and there is no urgency? למצוא את המקום שאנחנו יכולים קצת להתרחק מהדחיפות. דחוף. חייבים. עכשיו. ולהזמין את עצמנו לנוכחים עכשיו, פוגשת, פוגש, אישה, איש, את עצמו, את עצמה, באינטימיות של תשומת הלב, באינטימיות של הליווי הפנימי, בתנאים האלה שבין דור, שממשיכים לתמוך. ושגם בהם רק בני אדם נוכחים. לפעמים קורים דברים קשים. כן. אני מקווה שיש בהירות בקשר להנחיות. ומצטרף גם לכל ההנחיות מהיום הראשון, אני מקווה בצורה שכל אחת ואחת יכולה להמשיך את היום הטוב הזה שעכשיו נמשך לנו. יהיו היום קבוצות ששינינו, התחלנו את הסבב, יהיה סבב כך שכל מורה יראה כל אחת מהקבוצות. היום בבוקר קבוצה מספר אחת תהיה בחדר מספר ארבע עם אילן, קבוצה מספר שתיים תהיה בחדר מספר 11 איתי, וקבוצה מספר 3 תהיה בבניין מספר 3 עם סטיבן. זה גם רשום בלוח המודעות. זה לא עכשיו, אלא 10:45, רק חלק מה... 11:45, תודה שלומי. 11:45. אנחנו נשב עכשיו לשתי דקות, וב-10:15 יש לכולכם הזמנה, מי שרוצה guided walking. סטיבן ג'י נותן guided walking בדשא ומזמין את כולם לחבור איתו. זה אחת המדיטציות החשובות, הפותחות שער, זה הנפלאות. אז 10:15 בדשא הגדול, thank you. ובואו נשב להרפיה אל תוך ההתכוונות. מי ייתן וביום הזה אני אנוע מתרגול לתרגול, מצורת תרגול אחת לצורת תרגול אחרת, מתנוחה אחת לתנוחה אחרת. מי ייתן והתנועה תהיה נבחרת, מבורכת ולטוב. מי ייתן וכולנו נהנה מתרגול פורה, משחרר, נותן פירות לעצמנו ולאחרים. מכאן ולתמיד, מעכשיו ולעולם. שיהיה יום פועל, משחרר.